to be pretty good people, held in high esteem. I want to be known to be running in a good pack. At 17, I'm kind of hitting those markers. I'm a counsellor at my school. It's a pretty good school in Perth. I'm not sharing counselling like Michelle. I'm a school counsellor. I'm playing for our state in sport in across Australia. I'm pretty well socially connected. So I'm ticking a fair few of those boxes that we strive for in life. Yet it's not the time in my life that I remember the most, having the most impact on me. Something happened in the same space simultaneously. I'm blessed to be at a church. It's a small church. It's an eclectic church. It's not a church where there's lots of young people. In fact, it's a church where there's very few young people. So the whole concept of me hanging out with people who are my own age, never alone hanging out with people who do the same activities, never alone people who I think are cool or not cool, that's my church. And so every Tuesday night, 10 of us would get in a car at Bull Creek and we drive to Vic Park. And we drive to Vic Park to the house of a guy called Chris Brown and his wife, Rose. And Chris and Rose lead a Bible study for young people. And this young people's Bible study has everyone in our church aged from about 14 to 27. And so there we are, the 10 of us. We get in this car, we get there. And in there, we come together. And Chris plays guitar, and he has more passion than skill when it comes to guitar. And we play one song most weeks. It goes, you came from heaven to earth to show the way. You know it, if you're my generation. And we whack that song out week after week after week, you know, not thinking there might be other songs. That's the song that we worship to. And it's an eclectic group. In there, there's Earl. He's 27. He's a painter. Chris is 25. His wife, Rose, is a Filipino lady that they both met doing YWAM up in Asia. They're passionate people. There's a brother and sister, Brad and his sister. They're about 19, 20. They're from an Indian family. I'm there, a 17-year-old, trying to work out faith, trying to work out how to be drunk on a Saturday night and worship Jesus on a Sunday morning. There's Amy, she's been the chair of this church, she's a part of it, and her little brother. Totally different, but united by one thing. United by the person of Jesus Christ. That had a massive impact on my life. Because we're different, but we're the same because we all have the love of Jesus in our life and we're passionate about him. So you can be running after all, being on the pack with everyone, being in the cool group, having all the things happening. But the thing that will impact you is the group with the love of Christ that reaches out to you. That will impact you. That'll change your life. If you've got your Bible, open with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're working through Galatians at the moment. If you're new with us tonight, if you've been with us for a while, you know that we're up to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Goes like this. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the spirit of the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Sorry. Just need my glasses. Did I mention that song? You came from heaven to... Okay, there's my glasses. Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, so again I ask you, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, and as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. You know, we know from reading Galatians before that in the Galatian church, there are two sides. There's two things happening here. You've got the Jewish Christians and you've got the Gentile Christians. And the Jewish Christians have come off a strong diet of law. They've found Jesus, but they've still got this whole extra stuff that you've got to do in their life. They're struggling to get rid of that stuff. And then you've got the Gentile Christians who only know what it is to be saved by grace. And you may think that's fine because we center around the person of Jesus. There's two different factions in the church. That's okay. As long as we focus on the person of Jesus, we can have difference in the church. Except that's not the case. Not in Galatia. The Jewish Christians were like, you need to follow the old law. You need to follow the Old Testament ways as well as loving Jesus. And so we read in here and we read in Acts 15 about them needing to be circumcised as well as loving Jesus. It's like Jesus plus, and we've talked about that in the past weeks. And the law is how they had the connection to God. That's how they had connection in the past to God. But the law was only meant to be temporary. It wasn't meant to be forever. It was only meant to be for a certain time. And it was negative and it was positive. It was negative in that it magnified sin and it kept them captive to it. But it was positive in that it was a bit like a school mistress or a school principal who kept them in line until Christ comes. And so there's this negative sense and there's this positive sense, but they're trapped by the law. And even though they've met Jesus, even though they've come into a loving relationship with Jesus, they've got this attitude that it's Jesus plus. And actually, not just that, they actually start to think that that is a better way of being a Christian. And so now it's not only Jesus plus, it's now Jesus plus, and that makes me a slightly different level of Christian to you guys over there who are just faith. And if you guys want to be as good as me, if you want to be my standard of Christian, you've got to start to pull your socks up and live by the law as well as love Jesus. And so we start to see a division happening in the church between the good Christians, yeah, the ones who do it right, and the ones who are like scaly, moldy, not quite there. Now, we're all over here. Although by the end of this message, you want to be over here. So there's a division in the church. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21 to 22, it says this. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin so that what was promised being given through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. You see, we know, those of us who have walked with Jesus, we know that Christ comes, sets them free from the law of sin and death by meeting all the requirements of the law. He didn't abolish the law. He met the requirements of the law, making those who believe righteous. If you believe in Jesus today, that is what makes you righteous. It's not your actions. It's not your behavior. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. So you can't then go, my faith in Jesus Christ makes me righteous, but now I'm going to make myself more righteous by doing a few extra things, and now I'm going to look down my nose at those who are walking in faith of Jesus. We're all only righteous because of the faith in Jesus Christ. We're one, we are the same. So Paul, as we pick, plants this church in Galatia. He plants the church in Galatia on this second trajectory. He plants it on faith in Jesus alone. We learned that 2 weeks ago. But the Jewish Christians are like, nah. They're not up to our standard. They need Jesus and the extras. They are not enough. If they want to hang in our pack, if they want to be part of our group, then they need to have more depth. They need to have more understanding. They need to have more. And all we do is we load up on people weights that they were never meant to carry. And faith becomes something that was beautiful and pretty and now something that's quite ugly. And Paul is furious at the divisive nature that this is causing in the church. He sees the church like his baby. And he's like planted. He's like, go, little fella, walk. And then all of a sudden it's turning on each other. And he's furious about it. He's annoyed about it. The Jewish Christians claimed to be children of Abraham. And they claimed to be children of Abraham because of their lineage. The lineage like comes through Abraham, through the line, the bloodline. They get that's what lineage is, and they believe in that. And they, Paul points out, though, that Abraham was justified by faith, it says here in chapter 3, 430 years before the law. So Abraham is actually a man of faith before the law comes into place. And though the Jewish Christians claim that they are children of Abraham, and you know, if you know the song I sung earlier, you also know the other song, Father Abraham had many sons, many sons. Chris didn't know that on his guitar, so we didn't sing that then. We did it earlier. But they were lineage. But the Gentiles, Jesus comes along and says, no, the Gentiles, Paul comes along, sorry, and says, the Gentiles are children of Abraham because of faith. So you believe you're children of Abraham and you hold that above everyone, but actually they're children of Abraham just as much, even so more, because they are children of faith. Therefore, you are all the same. You're all the same. But what about they're not circumcised? You're all the same. What about they missed rule number 455? You're all the same. What happens if they do all the same? All the same, and not all the same like, oh, we're amazing. All the same like we need the grace of God. We're all the same. What a playing field. And this squabble that's happening, this squabble in the church, this we're better than you, if you like, was A, at best splitting the church, and B, at worst causing new Christians to put on standards that they were never meant to fit into. At best, splitting the church. At worst, putting limits on new Christians that they were never meant to wear. Hear that? Splitting the church would have been better. Now, Paul is not anti-sanctification. Sanctification means that we come to Christ freely, but Jesus doesn't want to leave us there. He wants to grow us in Him. And there's things that we came to Christ with that He wants us to leave behind and grow in Him. Paul is not anti-sanctification. He's not saying, hey, we're saved by grace, so woohoo, party time here, people. Do what you like. He's not anti, because he writes a whole chunk in Romans about sanctification. And he hasn't written Romans yet when he's writing Galatians. So he's going to write about that. He's not anti-sanctification. I know some of us like to think, yeah, but if they come in and they're not the same as us, and they, are we going to say anything about their behavior? Yes, we're anti-sanctification. He's not anti-sanctification. It's okay. We'll get dealt with. It'll get dealt with when the Holy Spirit speaks to them and He challenges them and they say, oh, I don't know that this is what I should be doing. And you say, cool, let's have a chat about that. That's when it'll get dealt with. Not when you hand your rule book of what they should look like and what they should sound like. Galatians 3, 24 to 29 goes on to say this. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that the faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. This is the best part. Nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. For you are all baptized in Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no the Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He could have saved it and said, you're all the same. Would have been quicker and used less printing. We are all one in Christ Jesus, no division. So no more focusing on what we have different and what I don't like about that person over there, or they're just not my people. Christ makes us one in Him. You don't choose to be one in Him, you are one in Him. So no more judging, no more looking down your nose at people, no more thinking we're better than them. You're one. If a homeless drunk man staggers in through this door right now and he loves Jesus, just received Jesus, or on his way to Jesus, then he's my type of person. He's my guy. Has he got it all together? No. Has he got perfect theology? Maybe not. Does he dress nice? Not likely. Does he smell? Probably. Is he saying, I need Christ and Christ alone? Yes. Then that's my type of person. Because I am just like him. Saved by grace. What I found in that group of eclectic misfits that I was one of them was I found a group of people who said, I am saved by grace. It wasn't a cool group. It was a group saved by grace. And what Paul is furious about is that these Christians, the church he planted, are looking sideways at each other, having a little glance down the laneway, saying, hang on. Hang on. They aren't like this. They aren't like that. And making all this external reasons to cause instability. And Paul's furious. And we can read this and think, those silly Galatians. But I've been in church for 48 years. And we're no different. We section off into cliques based on appearance, depth of knowledge, perceived spirituality, in-group, out-group, styles, my people, and it looks no different to my year 10 high school quadrangle where we're all forcing ourselves to get significance and be in the in-group and to be known. The church is called to so much more than that. So much more than that. Paul's saying that we're one in Christ, unified in Christ. He uses the phrase, one multi-ethnic church was God's vision for his kingdom. Wow. And here's the best bit about this. You're invited into it. You are the one multi-ethnic church that is the kingdom of God. How good is that? You're in it. If you're eccentric, you're in it. You're a little bit weird, you're in it. I'm in it. We want to be that type of church. That's the type of church we want to be. No, my people, their people. They're not up to my standards. If they want to know Jesus, if they know Jesus, that's our type of church. It's actually how people will know who God is. He doesn't say by our preaching, they'll know who God is. By our depth of understanding of the scriptures, he'll know who God is. By the amazing music, they'll know who God is. He says, by the way that we treat one another, by the way that we love one another, people shall know who God is. That's one multi-ethnic church, not a church divided, but a church that's united on Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was passionate about. That's why Paul's furious, because they weren't living that way. And it's like holding a magnifying glass up to us as a church and going, are we meeting this today, or do we need to make some changes? No more reading the Bible out here, looking at other people, but using it as a magnifying glass on us and going, what do you want to change, God? Because we want to be the church that you've called us to be, that you've made us to be. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father God, I want to thank you for making a way for us to be a part of your church. I want to thank you for the grace of God in my life, for showing me a group of people like that, an eclectic people, some 30 odd years ago. And Father, I desire that you would continue that work in us today here at Encounter. Lord, may we be a church that is not divided by this group or that group, not divided by our knowledge, our experience, how we look, what we speak like, but a church that's united by the person of Jesus Christ. Father, we repent. I repent on behalf of us. I repent on behalf of myself. for where we haven't been like that. For where we have turned on people because of things that aren't the same. Rather than upholding because of the thing that is the same. Father, we thank you for that. And we just thank you for allowing us to be a part of this. And Jesus, as we've always said, you came from heaven to earth to show the way. Amen. Let's stand up and worship.